blessings to everyone that have joined us again. You know, I was just in preparing for the session today, I was just reading the story, and I don't know how it all came together, but I started thinking about my little 8-year-old who's going to be baptized on Sunday, and just, I mean, the whole, then I looked back at the whole title of this series, and it was like discipleship, and I'm like, you know, it's so awesome, you know, that this little 8-year-old is just grasped something just so wonderful and so beautiful and so impactful in her life, and it made me think of that song, and this is my cue.
Oh goodness.
There you go, Janelle. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
Now you guys are gonna kick this us off the radio.
Nick will be laughing for sure.
And it just made me think just how wonderful, like, we all can be, you know, just lights to everyone around us, and for those that, you know, especially for those that aren't believers, it's just how much our light can mean in just the darkness of their lives. And whether you're 2 or 20 or 80, it's just how much difference we can make in people's lives because of the light of Christ, what we have in our hearts. And
that's right.
It just made me really want to share
that she has come to know the Lord and is following through with the baptism. That's exciting.
Yeah. She's been wanting to do it for years, and I kept saying, no, you're too young. And then God slapped me upside the head and said, wait a second here. So on Sunday, we're going to have a little celebration.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. Praise the Lord with a special cake.
Yes. Yeah. She's been watching way too much Cake Boss.
And if my granddaughter's listening, she accepted Christ Palm Sunday.
Awesome.
That's exciting.
It is. Their lives are just so cool once they get, you know, we always...
They get it.
And my daughter, one time she was having trouble at school, and she came home and she's like, Mom, I just don't understand why everybody can't have Jesus in their heart and just be nice the way that we're supposed to be. And it's like, so it does. Mm-hmm. It does make a difference in how they live their lives, even at 8.
That's right.
And that's a good lead-in for today's Bible story, because we're going to be looking at Luke 36 through 50 and the anointing of the sinful woman, and how our wisdom, how we act, is proven by our behavior. And as we look at today's Bible passage, we're going to see that the light is evident in those around us. You can see, and we're going to actually play off 2 people in today's Bible passage and what we're going to look at for the next 4 weeks, and how it's just evident. And so we're going to go into it. Let's just go ahead and go into the context of today's Bible passage. And Jesus's ministry, it's continuing to increase, and people are gathering and wanting to hear. And the Pharisees are really starting to feel the brunt, the full measure of Jesus' rebuke for their false religion, their false teaching. And so he is just getting after them, and they're feeling it, they're knowing it. And so Jesus sends word back to John to assure him, because John has sent a word asking, are you the one? He's questioning things. Mm-hmm. And he says, the one that doesn't fall away because of me will be saved, will be blessed. And he praises John, and no one in the kingdom, he says, is greater than him. And so this is where we're at in our Bible passage, and it's in Luke 7, verses 36 through 50. Thank you, Janelle. She sent me a little note here. You guys should see that, because I didn't give you the full chapter, which I do that kind of thing sometimes. So in Luke 7, verses 36 through 50. And this is where one of the Pharisees, Simon, has invited Jesus to his house for dinner. And so Jesus goes to his house, and he's reclining at his table when a woman that was known for having a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at this Pharisee's house. She came, and with her she had brought an alabaster jar filled with a very expensive perfume. And she went to where Jesus was at. She stood behind him, and she was just weeping at his feet. And she knelt down and began to wipe Jesus' feet with her tears. And she began to kiss him, and then she anointed his feet with her oil. Well, the Pharisee was just sitting there watching and thinking to himself, well, if this man truly were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus turned and he looked to Simon and he said, Simon, I have something to tell you. He's like, well, tell me, teacher. And so Jesus then begins to tell the story of two men who owed money to a moneylender. And one of them owed a huge amount of money, 500 denarii, and the other only owed 50. But neither of them had money to cancel the debt. But he went ahead and canceled their debts. He just did it for them. And Jesus said, which one do you think loved him more? Well, the Pharisee Simon said, well, of course, the one that had the bigger debt. And Jesus said, you have judged correctly. And then Jesus turned and he looked to the woman and he said to Simon the Pharisee, do you see this woman? I came into your house, but you didn't give me water for my feet. But she has not stopped wiping my feet with her hair and her tears. When I entered your house, you did not greet me with a kiss, but this woman, since she has entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You, when I entered your house, did not give me oil for my head, but she has poured oil on my feet. I tell you, her many sins are forgiven, for she's loved much. But he who has been forgiven little, he loves little. And then Jesus turned and he looked to the woman and he said, your sins are forgiven. Well, the guests were there, were calling out like, who is this man that forgives sins? Who is he? And then Jesus turned and he looked at the woman and he says, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. May God honor the telling of his word in Luke 7, 36 through 50. This passage, it is humbling. It is humbling. And we have a comparison and a contrast. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear this passage? What are the first things you think of?
I guess for me, it's that the fact that, you know, Jesus has a special place for the sinners. I mean, you know, the seriously down and out.
Yeah, yeah. And is the Pharisee Simon a sinner?
Yes.
Yes.
That's the difference, though. She knows. But, she recognizes.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a clue that he's a sinner. Hmm. He just looks at her sin.
Yeah, it's like the righteousness.
Right, righteousness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she's very humble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she was...
It's like righteousness, humble. Yeah.
Okay. Would somebody open up into Luke 7 and read verse 35. Luke 7, verse 35. And whoever's got it, just holler and we'll let you do it. because this verse is the verse right before the passage. And this is what Jesus has said to them. And so it's the last thing on their mind before this happens. So, got it, Sandy?
Yeah, I do. But wisdom is proved right by all her children.
But wisdom is proved right by all her children. And wisdom, we know from other passages in the Bible, is the fear of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so it's the beginning of fearing God. And if we fear God, then wisdom will be evident in us. And how we live our lives, how we act, the things we say, the things we do, that is where wisdom is revealed. It comes out in our character. And as I was going through and rereading and preparing, what I want us to do is I want us to list out Simon the Pharisee's behaviors, what we see and how he treated Jesus. And then we'll take the time, we're going to list out how the woman treated Jesus. And let's just do an observation time. And so let's go through, begin from the beginning of what we see, and let's talk about Simon the Pharisee and every action that he did toward Jesus, whether it's in thought or in deed, okay? And in some cases, you can make assumptions based on what we read. And we'll say it's an assumption because of, and then give your reason or something, okay? So what do we see about Simon the Pharisee? What's the first thing he does with Jesus?
He asks him to eat with him.
Okay. So he gives an invitation. It's like, Jesus is in town. And so he invites him, Jesus, you know, come over. And what does he invite him to do?
Have dinner.
Have dinner. Okay, so he invites him over for dinner. What's the next thing that happens that we see that he does? That we have the intro of the woman, so we learn a little about her. So what happens the next thing we see?
He starts questioning Jesus.
Okay.
Well, he was thinking it.
Yeah.
He hadn't said a thing yet.
It wasn't out loud, was
no.
it?
No. He's like, what? What? Yeah. What's going on here?
Why would he do this?
You know,
if he were a prophet, why would he do this?
Okay, all right. With that, you have just recognized that he actually is questioning whether or not he is a teacher.
Right.
The true prophet, because people at this time are calling him the true prophet. And remember when I set the context, the question John the Baptist was asking, are you the Messiah? Mm-hmm. So John, who's in prison, is struggling because of what's happening to him. He's just wanting affirmation. But Jesus doesn't condemn him. He says there is no one who has such great faith as he. Yet here this person questions in his mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then when Jesus tells him the story about the two men, how does he respond to the story of the 500 denarii or the 50 denarii?
He recognizes that the debt, the bigger debt was canceled also with the smaller debt.
Okay. So he's able to observe an actual story and see what is the better outcome. So he's a thinker.
Mm-hmm.
He's not somebody that knows, doesn't know right from wrong. Okay.
But you know, it's funny because, I mean, if he says, like, I suppose. Is he being condescending?
Yeah, I think it kind of sounds like.
I think he's still just trying to think it through.
Yeah.
It might be him. It might not. I suppose it could be.
I can see him being a little hesitant, like, I see where you're going this, so I suppose.
I suppose I have to.
I suppose I'm condemning myself.
Yeah. You think there's a little bit of identification starting to take place?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then when Jesus tells him, he says, you have judged correctly. And then he turns and tells him, Jesus asks him a question. What is the question Jesus asks Simon the Pharisee?
Do you see this woman? Do you actually see her? You know, like, this is a sinful woman. Do you see her?
Oh, it's so rich. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about this this morning. I thought, you know what? All of us have those moments where we have somebody that we might just give a glance, mm-hmm. just a simple glance, but we may not know or actually see or acknowledge them. And so Jesus takes him through the story. He acknowledges which one would love greater, and then he asks him point blank, do you see this woman? And then he begins the process of doing the teaching. We'll hit that in a second. We don't have anything else said to us about Simon the Pharisee. And so I think that's kind of interesting. Now let's contrast and let's look at the woman, and let's take the verses and let's examine just what her actions or whatever. It's really just actions. There's no real big words. So what does the sinful woman happen that she goes to Jesus? What do we know?
I love it that she learned where he was and she went to seek him.
Okay.
You know, a sinful person, you know.
Right.
She didn't think about that at all.
And she didn't come empty-handed. I mean, she came with intent.
Right.
I mean, she had an intentions.
Mm-hmm. What was her intention? She had something with her. What did she have with her?
She had the alabaster jar of perfume.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And she wanted to wash his feet with, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She wanted to anoint him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I wonder if she was even thinking. She has the alabaster with her. She's gone to see Jesus, and then she's in his presence. And what does she do?
She cries.
She cries.
And she cries. And what happens as she's crying?
So much that his feet, like she can wash his feet with her tears and uses her hair.
I had to
visualize that, too, because they recline with her feet out, and she's behind. Because at first I was thinking, how are the tears falling on the feet? So then I had to
culture. You had to get some culture. And we'll go into the culture. I'll go through some customs, and that'll probably be next week, that we'll look at the cultural customs to explain some of the circumstances surrounding this particular setting, because the setting is a little different. How
does she get into the house? Mm-hmm. Is she invited?
It is really interesting that she stands behind him at his feet.
Mm-hmm. I had always pictured her kneeling in front of him or something. But he's if reclining. She's standing, but she ends up symbolic that she's at his feet, not just physically.
And so we'll actually go into those customs and explain the details of why. How did she get there? Why is she allowed in there if she's a sinful woman? Right. The whole circumstances behind it. When she was doing this, and as the story's going on, does it tell us what's happening? Do we see anything that gives us a hint to what is happening while all the story's happening?
Gossip.
Well, probably so, amongst the people. Yeah. Well, Jesus says continuously, she has done this continuously. He says, you know, to him, he says, since I have entered, she has not stopped kissing my feet. So she began kissing him and then it just would not stop. So whereas Simon didn't even greet.
Well, he didn't even anoint. Yeah. And that's his feet. And that's just, that's a typical custom.
Yeah. It's a very important, very important greeting.
It's kind of one of the first things they do when people enter their home.
It is, exactly.
It also says something, another thing about Simon's character when he doesn't do that. Why did he invite Jesus into his home in the first place? Mm-hmm. Was he really trying to honor him as a guest? If he was, then he probably would have done those customs. But he seems to be more focused on just having him there, like to examine him, to test him.
And that's what they did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, there is a tendency for us to want to be around those that are known or famous. And most commentators kind of fall in that category for Simon, that, you know, just wanted to see this brush of Jesus. And so in the habit of collecting people, inviting people to the house so they can say, I had the rabbi Jesus in my house, is most likely what the thing was. We have about a minute left for our show. I cannot believe it went so fast. So you have to come back next week, because next week we're going to actually look at some of the customs behind why the certain behaviors were happening and explaining the details behind that. But then we're going to look at how wisdom was proven through the sinful woman. Here she has the title of the sinful woman, but wisdom was proven through her. And yet the religious leader, Simon, it wasn't. And so we're going to examine that and what that might look like within our own hearts. We're glad that you listened to Cultivating Hearts. We would love to hear from you at tararye.com or cultivatinghearts.org or at opendoormission.org. We're thankful for all the donors that make this radio ministry possible. We could not do it if it were not for the donors that give to the mission so that this radio ministry can take place. God bless.